Hi there, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. On today's podcast, we're talking about invisible illness. Now, this is a term you may not have heard of, but if any of this sounds like you, you'll want to hear this interview. Have you ever been told your lab tests are normal and you're fine, but you know you're not fine? Maybe you're bone tired or have odd rashes or hurt in ways that don't have names. Maybe you're losing or gaining weight in a way that makes no sense when you consider your exercise and diet. These are signs of what my guest today calls invisible illness. My guest is Dr. Carrie Louise Donnell. She received her naturopathic medicine degree from Bastyr University and is licensed as a primary care physician in the state of Washington. She is an author, speaker, frequent guest on PBS health programming, and volunteer service to the state, national, and educational institutions of naturopathic medicine. In today's interview, we talk about invisible illnesses, how to know if you have one, what to do about it, and who to see. I really think you're going to enjoy this interview. And if you know anyone who you think could benefit from hearing this information, please share with them because I think this is important information to get out there. So please enjoy this interview with Dr. Donnell. So today we're talking about invisible illness. Now, this is a term that you have created, and I think it's a really interesting way to talk about this. So what is invisible illness? Tell us about that.
That's the term I use for patients like me. Now, thankfully, I'm not like that anymore. But for 10 years, and I've been well for 20, I was that invisible patient. And they're near and dear to my heart, Dr. Cates, because when they come to me, I think, oh, there are my people. I know I can help them. But the challenge for being invisible isn't that you have a diagnosis that your friends and family can't see. The challenge for being invisible is that even though you're suffering and your life has basically been taken down by your illness, when you go to the person that should be able to help you and they run all the tests come back fine and they look at you and they say you're fine, but you're not fine. And that's where you start to feel invisible to the very people who are supposed to be trying to help you.
Wow. So let's talk about your story. Tell everyone about what's been your journey and how you came to this awareness.
Well, it can start out with something that is so intangible and yet so life-wrecking as chronic fatigue, which then goes to fibromyalgia. And those terms are thrown around a lot, but they're very hard to measure. And so people don't always get believed by the people they're reaching out to. And it's insult to injury to be so bone tired, as I call it, and in so much pain all over, and yet have nothing that can say definitively that you actually have a problem that deserves to be helped or that somebody even knows how to help. And so, unfortunately, it doesn't end there, as if that's not enough. What happens a lot of times for these patients is that they end up being one of those multiple food or chemical sensitivity patients where they start being sensitive to everything. And then ultimately, I see those patients ending up with a real diagnosis later on down the road. And it's not fun because it typically ends up being something autoimmune.
Right. And so what you're talking about is that if people can be aware of their symptoms and not wait until it becomes something that is diagnosable or visible, to actually pay attention to these clues, these messages that your body is giving you. And I realize that these messages can come in a lot of different ways. And I focus a lot on skin issues, and I see them show up, eczema, rashes that maybe, you know, the person hasn't gotten a full diagnosis for, and they just have this kind of weird itchy rash and they can't figure it out. Or maybe it's this like fatigue that you're talking about, but their labs look normal. And so this is kind of what you're talking about, right? That there's no necessary term for it, but you don't want to wait until you have a diagnosis and the labs show these crazy off numbers, but you want to be proactive, right?
Indeed. Dr. Cates, you know, one of the things that I felt like took me down to a serious degree before I was diagnosed with my autoimmune diseases, fatigue, and I was dealing with fibromyalgia, but I also had eczema, and I call it intractable eczema because it was all over my face and it was all over my arms. And it was ugly. And it was difficult to be around people when they would look at you and you could hear them wondering, are you contagious? Sometimes it would just come right out of their mouth. And it wasn't pretty. And you couldn't cover it up because the skin was so damaged, it wouldn't hold any kind of cover up except for on your arms. You could certainly wear sleeves, but on your face, what are you going to do? There's not enough makeup in the world to cover that up. And so, on top of all that, it was extremely painful. You know, your eyes and your mouth are highly innervated. And I would try to explain it to people by saying, what if you just took a needle and you just started poking yourself all around your eyes and all around your mouth? That's what it feels like all day long, every day, to have that intractable eczema. And so it was just one more thing that looked like nothing in particular along the way, that had I known what I know now, I would have paid attention to and taken it much more seriously and done the work I eventually was able to do that not only resolved the chronic fatigue, the fibromyalgia, and the eczema, all considered to be incurable, but also my two autoimmune diseases, which ended up being crippling rheumatoid arthritis and Graves' disease, also considered incurable. And that's the wonderful thing about working through naturopathic medicine, because at the end of the day, we're going to go to identifying and treating the cause whenever possible. And when you do that, you can resolve diseases instead of just simply finding ways to manage them.
Yeah, and when we pay attention to our body is giving us these clues and messages. We want to pay attention to that rather than just suppress them, right? We want to try and figure out what is the underlying cause, what is the root cause of that, and before it gets worse. And it sounds like things got pretty bad for you. So, what ultimately happened with you? Well, how did things turn around for you?
You know, fortunately or unfortunately, however you might look at it, because naturopathic medical school is no small ride, I arrived sick, Dr. Cates, and I got sicker along the way. And it was very difficult, but at the same time, I was surrounded by the science of natural medicine. And it gave me an opportunity to be exposed to the treat the cause strategies that I was eventually able to put together that rewrote my health story. And while people are thinking pain and fatigue and skin, which of course I was, and eventually joints and thyroid, what it ended up being was my digestive system, which wasn't really on my radar to begin with. I didn't have any of the symptoms that might lead you to think you had a terrible digestive disorder. But the interesting thing is that in naturopathic medicine, we say that the digestive system opens to the skin. And that, of course, the immune system, which is responsible for autoimmune and inflammatory skin changes and reactivity to foods and chemicals, pollens and dander, lives in the gut. There's just no other way to say it. It's that simple. And so what I did was I spent about a year with a treat the cause protocol made up of nutritional supplements targeted to completely restore health to my digestive system. And then all of a sudden, these several other problems I had resolved themselves. And so it is very powerful to treat at the causal level. And it was powerful to me to be lucky enough to be surrounded by the science of natural medicine when I was that sick so that I could figure it out.
Well, that's such a great story, and it really does show that when you treat the cause, it helps a number of different issues. It helps with skin issues, and so I call skin our magic mirror because it gives us great clues about our overall health. But when we really focus on treating the cause, then, like you said, the autoimmune disease, all these other issues that you have get resolved. So they're just, instead of like a side effect that we consider with conventional medications is causing all these other problems, when you use naturopathic medicine to treat the root cause, the side effects are actually that you get rid of all the other issues that you have, and you actually have more energy, and you're sleeping better, and you have a better mood, and your skin's glowing, and all these great things are the actual side effects rather than, what you typically think of as a side effect, right?
Absolutely. You know, you just listed a few more of the things. I try not to wear people out with my laundry list of problems, but when you're that sick, you end up with so many different challenges that don't end up with a name. But yes, I had brain fog and my mood was depressed, even though I'm not that gal. You know me, Dr. Cates. I'm like a bucket of positivity, too much for some people on most days, but not in those days. And Unfortunately, that would distract some of my conventional providers and say, well, maybe you're like this because you're depressed. And I would say, no, what if I'm depressed because I'm like this? And so it gets really frustrating to be the patient. And one of the most exciting things about being me at work is that I get to look them in the eye and believe them and know that we can work together to resolve it. And these patients are savvy and educated and experienced. And sadly, some of them were at it just as long as I was or longer. For me, it was a 10-year trek trying everything, significant elimination diets, every kind of natural Band-Aid treatment that I could come up with because I didn't know any better. And certainly every attempt at conventional diagnosis and help. And then finally, just being able to get down to that causal level. And so it allows me to really meet people where they are, believe them, and get them back on track.
Yeah, so it's so great to be able to help other people in a way that, like, you've been helped and that you can fully appreciate where they are. So tell us what it's like for a patient to come in to see you. What is a typical visit like? What kind of workup are you doing? What is it like seeing a naturopathic physician such as yourself?
Well, the fun thing about us is we practice in all kinds of different ways at various different levels because the different states we work in regulate us in different ways. So in my world, I work as a wellness consultant, even though in Washington state, I'm licensed as a primary care physician with prescriptive authority. In Colorado, the regulation we have allows me to do much less of the conventional, and so I focus primarily on the natural. I require that all of my patients have a conventional primary care provider at the very least, specialists if they need them, and I work very well with them because you know as well as I do that in our training, we're trained in conventional as well as natural and how the two worlds work together. And so if someone is willing to work with me, I work very well with them. And after 18 years practicing in Denver, I can say that I've made a lot of conventional friends, so to speak, and it helps us serve our patients better because we can work together. And so they come into my office and they fill out extensive medical and symptom history forms. And then I say, and I say jokingly, but I mean it very seriously, you know, I just need to hear your whole life story. Because in our world as naturopathic doctors, it is amazing what might figure in and what might matter that patients themselves don't even know matters. And so we take our sweet time and I hear their life story. And then I begin the process of building them a protocol that is designed to treat at the causal level for their individual case, considering things they can't do, things they should do, and not only teach them how to follow that protocol, but treat the cause as one sacred principle of naturopathic medicine for me, but doctor as teacher is the other one. And so the teaching begins, and I empower my patients with what I believe is going on and how the things we're going to do are going to help so that they go out of my office changed forever with an ability to make informed decisions about what is going on with their body so that they're always in the driver's seat to drive themselves back to health.
That's great. That's great. So let's back up for a moment because I've had people ask me questions about naturopathic physicians and what their training is. And I've covered this some, but you know, you and I are both naturopathic doctors. So we're talking about, yes, of course we are trained this way, but let's back up a little bit. And can you explain to everyone what our training is like, how we are trained? And because I think there might be some people going, how can they possibly be trained in both natural and conventional medicine? So we talk a little bit about that.
Well, as treat the cause doctors, there is no way around understanding and not just getting through the class and moving on and then memorizing treatments later on, but there's really no way around understanding biochemistry and having a working daily knowledge of it so that you can apply what's wrong with the biochemistry underneath the diagnosis to how you know that the various different active constituents, for example, that might be involved in an herb or a vitamin or a mineral might work to correct those underlying mishaps in the biochemistry to really drive treat the cause healing. And so There is no way to become a naturopathic doctor if you don't have all the basic medical sciences. And there is no sort of natural anatomy or natural physiology or natural biochemistry, et cetera, and so on. And so when we go to school, we have to learn all the basic medical sciences. They are what they are. That's what the body is. And we need to know how that works. From there, because we are trained to be family doctor, primary physicians with an expert in the use of natural medicine and the ability to use them together safely and effectively, we have to learn pharmacology. We have to learn how to prescribe drugs if necessary. But we also need to know a very deep understanding of how the vitamins and the minerals and the herbs and the homeopathy, et cetera, and so on, work with the body to treat at the causal level. And also when necessary, because none of my patients like to do one or the other. They want the best of both worlds. So how to put those together in the smartest way to deliver the best result for the patient.
Great. And another one of the questions that I've gotten is, how do I know how to find a naturopathic physician? Which naturopathic physician? Because there are differences in naturopathic physicians. So how do you find one? How do you find the right one? Let's talk about that too.
Well, let's start with, you want to go to somebody who went to school and who passed the exams set forth by the Department of Health of one of the states in the United States so that you know they have a basic level of competency. And you can find those doctors on the naturopathic.org website under Find a Doctor. If you find a naturopathic doctor there, you know absolutely for certain that they went to an accredited naturopathic medical school and they were licensed by a state that gives those exams. So, for example, in Washington State, Dr. Cates, I sat for 5 8-hour days of exams from the State Department of Health, Washington, in order to get my license. And so you at the very least want that. And I think from there, you're looking for people who are really focused on the things you care about. You know, obviously I'm not going to go to a gentleman who focuses on male urology if I have, you know, bioidentical hormone needs. And then I think finally, you have to do your homework and find someone who you connect with on a personality level. In my practice, I give lectures every single month. And for one, it helps my patients learn more about what's going on with them and why we're doing what we're doing. Some of them come to those lectures 4 or 5 times because they say, I always learn something new and I always forgot something that mattered. But the other thing is that they can bring their friends or their family and they can check me out, so to speak. And I say, you know what? Everyone's not for you. You need to find someone who you connect with and feel good about. And when they have the opportunity to see how I teach and the things I care about and how I work, they can decide for themselves, you know, I really resonate with that gal, or, you know, maybe there's someone else for me. And I think most of us, I know I'm like this. If someone's looking for a naturopathic doctor and they're not where I am and they want to go locally, I help them and help them find somebody that might be a good fit for them. Or if they're looking at me right in my office and saying, I'm looking for this or that, you know, pretty much I know everyone in town and I can say, well, this doctor might be a better fit for you.
Yeah, that's great. Well, so well said. And just to reiterate, I think it can be confusing when looking for a naturopathic doctor, because there are people that call themselves naturopaths or even naturopathic doctors who have not gone to one of the accredited schools, especially if people are in a state where naturopathic physicians are not licensed. And it's such a confusing thing. And I look forward to the day when there is regulation in every state, so it's not so confusing when we so it doesn't matter state by state where you are. And there are now, I believe it's 15 states, right, that license naturopathic physicians. I think
we're up into the 18-19 range with a couple of territories and Washington, D.C., which isn't a state, but not enough for sure.
Yes.
And, you know, that is very difficult because you've got some really well-meaning people out there who know something about something. And I'm not even saying they're not helping people. But when you say you're a doctor, that really speaks to people. We all understand doctor to mean a certain level of credentialing, a certain level of training. And it's a little misleading to the public when you go into the office and you think you're seeing a doctor and you're really seeing someone who has a lot of wonderful information that they came across just like you might have, maybe reading some books, maybe taking some classes in herbs or natural supplements or lifestyle or diet, but they don't have that training, that extensive training. You know, I just reviewed again, as I have so many times, that list that compares the various different medical schools. So they have some of the naturopathic schools, they've got Stanford on there, they've got various different conventional schools. And when you go to school to be a doctor, whether it's an MD or an ND, you're looking at anywhere from 3,500 to 4,500 hours of training in basic medical sciences and clinical sciences. And interestingly enough, it is not across the board. Naturopathic has less or more, or medical doctor schools have less or more. They're all different, but they're all within that range. And there's just no way to compare that to a self-designated, self-educated practitioner of something natural, regardless of how wonderful, kind, or helpful that they may be. And so it's just tough for the patient to know what they're choosing when the state doesn't say this is what that means, so to speak. So I agree. I look forward to the day that all 50 states say this is what naturopathic doctor means. At the very least, it means they went to an accredited school and they passed the exams and they're basically competent.
So until that time, it's unfortunately, it's just up to people to do a little homework themselves, because we don't want people to have to go through what you went through. I mean, of course you went through the journey that was right for you. But having to go, you don't have to go through naturopathic medical school to cure yourself. You don't have to go through all of those years, because there are already people who've done all that work, like you, Dr. Janelle, you know, so finding that right person, the right fit, the right naturopathic physician. And like you said, some of these people that are calling themselves naturopaths, they're well-meaning, they're helping people. And that's, you know, it's not the issue. The issue is when someone's calling themselves a doctor, or if you want to get to see a truly licensed naturopathic physician, because doing an online course is so different, you know, like some of these certified naturopaths is so different than seeing someone like you or I that have been through and done clinical hours in, you know, in school, seeing patients, actually physically being there, going through 4 years of rigorous education is different. And it provides a different layer, because I really feel like we are such an important part of people's health teams that if when you're trying to figure out what are all the different options out there, and having a naturopathic physician as part of your team, or maybe is the only person that you see, or, you know, depending upon the person's situation. But a lot of people with complicated health issues, they need a team of people. And naturopathic physicians can be a really good core person to help regulate and point directions and help manage that situation. Wouldn't you agree?
I do. You know, so many times, especially as healthcare changes, and we won't go down that road because we could be on it for 2 hours at least. But as the healthcare system changes more and more, I'm serving as the patient's medical conscience, right? So I'm overseeing their entire case. And we are talking through every strategy, every diagnosis, every proposed treatment, and really thinking it through so that we know for sure that things are happening the way they're supposed to for that patient, so that nothing slips through the cracks. And if they're seeing me anyway, what they want to do is use the very best of conventional medicine when absolutely necessary, but also first take responsibility themselves, their lifestyle, their diet, nutritional supplements that are targeted to treat at the causal level, to make sure that they don't need those medications or surgeries if they can simply restore their health. And then if they do, I work with them to identify the very best of the best in the fields of surgeons and prescribers and people that are willing to work with my patients while they're working with me, so that they have a sane playing field, so to speak, and they really do get the very best of what they need. Because I believe right now it's getting more and more challenging, even for the most savvy, even for the most well-resourced patients, kind of not to slip through the cracks right now.
Yeah, and it's so true, and especially with all the information that people can find online, it can be so overwhelming. I get so many patients coming in saying, I read this and I saw this and this person told me this. And they get so much conflicting information, and they feel like, a lot of times they feel like they're betraying their primary care doctor, their MD that they've been seeing for years, if they go and start doing changing with their diet and lifestyle and start looking at naturopathic medicine, some of these other options, when in actuality, you know, it's just about finding the focus, the right approach for that patient, because there are a lot of solutions out there, there are a lot of possibilities, and they've helped many different people. They've hurt different people too, but finding the right path for that person, because everybody's unique and everybody has their story and their underlying causes that need to be addressed. So, I think that this is great that we're having this conversation, because it can be so overwhelming for people, and having some guidance is what a lot of people need.
You know, this is the way I explain it. If you find me at the scene of a car accident and I'm not altogether the way I should be, you know, the last thing I want is a natural remedy. I want to be escorted to an ER, and I want the very best of care to stitch me back up and, you know, get me on the mend. At the same time, it has never, ever been a bad idea in the face of any diagnosis to try to restore health in that area to the best of your ability while you're looking to treat, manage, or cure that disease process. And so I just can't imagine, if you have someone that is skilled in working alongside with conventional medicine, how it could ever be a bad idea to be as healthy as you can be while you're dealing with any diagnosis.
Yeah. I agree. And I love what you're talking about too, about the fact that you speak a lot and how it's good to, for people when they're looking for a naturopathic doctor to go and listen to them speak, or, you know, like you've had some people, many that say, come back and hear you speak, but to find that person that you connect with. So when looking for a naturopathic physician, or really any doctor, any practitioner, you want to find somebody you resonate with. And I think that a lot of naturopathic physicians are good. It's really part of what we do is getting out and teaching and speaking, whether it's, you know, I do podcasts, or you know, you do more public speaking. People want to find someone that, and listen and say, is this someone that I can resonate with? Is this someone that is speaking in a way that I can understand, in a way that I can appreciate, that's going to help me with my health journey?
Or even something as simple as, you know, what are your values around health, healthy lifestyle, and living? Sometimes I'll get deep into discussion of food elimination and my path to restore my digestive health, because I have this long history of being very sensitive to almost every single thing I ate. And I will say I was down to white rice, pears, and salmon at one point and still reacting. And I got really frustrated with the whole food elimination thing. And I said, you know, instead of finding foods that bother me and eliminating them, why don't I just eliminate the fact that I'm bothered? Because it's not natural to be that reactive to a full variety of healthy whole foods. And so I developed a bit of an attitude that spurred me on to restore health in the digestive tract in a way that would resolve those food reactivities. And I'm not talking about anaphylaxis, Dr. Cates. I'm talking about those delayed sensitivity reactions that lead to aggravation of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and autoimmune diseases and eczema and brain fog and so on and so forth. And so then I'll stop and I'll look at the people that are listening to me so intently, and I'll say, you know, I'm not living to be healthy. I'm healthy so that I can live. And that's a really important distinction. I don't get up every day and figure out ways that people can be perfect and live in a bubble. I figure out ways to restore health to such a degree that they can make a lot of really healthy decisions, and then sometimes have that beer and have that Mexican food that is probably not organic and still live to tell about it. You know, you just want to live life while you're here and live it to the fullest. And sometimes it means, you know, not having a perfect diet or a perfect lifestyle, but you want to be so robustly healthy that you can afford to make those choices when it makes you happy and allows you to join in with your family and friends. And sometimes that's the kind of value system that someone will resonate, and they'll say, you know what, I've been with those other people that really value being perfect all the time, because they think that's the greatest way to be. And they just don't feel like they can connect. Now, the people that really do want to live like that and do value that sort of thing are going to listen to me and say, you know, she's not for me, and that's okay.
I completely agree with you on that. And I think it's great to talk about the fact that you don't have to be living on such a restricted lifestyle. And it's so great for to hear you say that you had that, you experienced that, you knew that, you went through that. But now that you've healed your gut, that you've been through the treatment that you've been through, that you're able to actually have some of these other foods. You're not limited to three different foods. And I think that for my patients, sometimes they do need that in the beginning. They have to be on this restricted diet until we can restore their gut health. But ultimately, you don't want to have to be living like that. Nobody should have to live like that. Nobody should have these chemical sensitivities that keep them home, that they can't travel, they can't go walk into a store, they can't go to a friend's house to have dinner. Nobody should have to live like that. And there is hope for people, because I'm sure there are people who are listening, watching, that are in that point right now. They feel like they can't live a normal life. So what is your life like now? What is it?
Oh, Dr. Cates, my life is completely different now. So I was sick for 10 years and literally trying to live in a bubble. I mean, even my shower curtain was made out of organic cotton. I couldn't wear synthetic fabrics. Makeup was an absolute no for me. Like I said, I was very limited on the foods I could eat. And, you know, it wasn't something that I wondered. I mean, I could literally have an organic gluten-free corn quinoa pasta, and within 10 or 15 minutes, the wicked eczema all over my face would just turn bright red and start burning. So it wasn't a subtle thing. It was very real. It's just that my body was so broken that everything hurt and everything hurt me. And so after battling that for 10 years and losing foods, you know, first it was getting rid of wheat, then it was gluten, then it was dairy, and so on and so forth. And I'd get a little better for a little while, but until I really addressed my gut, I just kept reacting to whatever foods I replaced those things with. So now I'm allergic to things I didn't even know were foods before, millet and quinoa and spelt. And so back in the early days, before I was a naturopathic doctor, I didn't even know what those foods were until I needed to replace dairy and wheat and gluten products. And so ultimately, I went from being just pathetic and sad and hard to look at, quite frankly, to being a bouncing off the walls, I just want to save the world before I die person. And I've been well for 20 years now, Dr. Cates, and I mean really well. And I can eat whatever I want. I can walk into a room that has both a Glade plug-in and six cats living in the house and not die. Not that I, you know, want to live in a sea of Glade plug-ins, but you know, I can stand up to it. My body is strong enough to say, I see you, I can manage you, and we're going to live robustly anyway. And that's what I want for my patients. You know, health is freedom, Dr. Cates. And if we have our health, then we can make the contributions that we came here to make. And if we don't have our health, we spend all of our time just trying to white knuckle it through the day. And I want that freedom for all of my patients.
So beautifully put. So, so true. And I know that you can't tell us everything that you did to help turn your health around. But when you talk about addressing the gut, can you highlight some of the main things that you did that were super important, just so people have some ideas on what it means to heal the gut?
You know, in my world, I start with designing for a condition what I consider to be a protocol that addresses the various pieces of the underlying cause. And for the digestive system, there are some, I would say at least five very significant underlying pieces. And you don't get to choose your, I've found, you don't get to choose your very favorite piece and do the heck out of it and expect the rest of them to be ignored and yet heal. And so I say you do these things all day, every day, at the same time, over time, and usually within a year, 2 years, some patients 6 months. For me, it was a year. Some of my sickest patients, 6 months. Some of the in the middle of sickness, 1.5 to 2 years. Everyone's different. Severity of illness doesn't determine it. But those pieces are, you have to digest your food, which means you have to take the big pieces and turn them into the little pieces that are nutrients instead of rotting them into toxins. Then you have to make sure the bugs are right. Everyone's heard of probiotics that are listening to your show, I'm sure. And you have to have good bugs, and you can't have a lot of bugs that aren't good for you. That's called dysbiosis. And so you have to correct dysbiosis. Then if you are not digesting your food and you're rotting it and you have too many bad bugs and not too many good bugs, the next thing you're going to get is free radical activity and inflammation and irritation. And then once that ball starts rolling, no matter what you do to stop what brought it, it will keep itself rolling. And so inflammation creates free radicals create inflammation. And so you've got to address that self-feeding cycle or you'll never get out of the weeds. And then when you have that whole scenario working in the digestive system, what you have is a sea of toxicity. And so locally, you have to relieve the body a little bit of the toxicity. But at the same time, you cannot be tempted, like so many people are, to launch someone into a big detox because they cannot handle it. It will set them back. And experienced patients will walk right into my office and say, you know what? Whatever you do, don't detox me. And I say, I know we can't detox you because you're detox is a form of drainage and you're already drained and beaten down. We have to build you up to make you strong enough to take anything away from you, including systemic toxicity. But in the gut, it's different locally. There are ways you can very gently and locally relieve that system of toxicity so that it will heal more readily. And then finally, and most importantly, where the rubber meets the road is at the point where the gut lining itself is broken down and allowing things to go into the bloodstream, triggering the systemic immune system, aggravating the neurological system. You've got to shore up that broken down tissue so that that inappropriate relationship between what's going through the gut and what's hitting your bloodstream doesn't happen anymore. And that is affectionately known in the world as leaky gut. And so you have to restore that lining. And if you look through those five priorities, you can find very targeted nutritional supplements. And, you know, I have my favorite starting set, but the truth is that there are many ways to pull that off. And sometimes you have to tailor it to the individual because maybe I'll say, well, I want to use L-glutamine. And somebody say, well, I have a long history of reacting to L-glutamine. And so you have to find other ways. And so things like L-glutamine and N-acetyl-D-glucosamine to heal that lining, things like a gentle demulcent fiber like slippery elm to relieve that toxicity, something as simple as quercetin for the inflammation and free radical activity, a good probiotic for the dysbiosis, and then, of course, a digestive enzyme to make sure you're digesting your food into nutrients instead of rotting it into toxins.
Great. Thank you so much for giving that example. And I think that some people listening, watching might be thinking, oh my gosh, 6 months, a year, 2 years, how can I possibly wait that long? And what I would just add to that, and I'm sure you would agree that I think that with people, it depends on their level of severity. You're obviously seeing some very complicated cases of people that have been sick for, and very sick for many, many years. And so when you're talking about a year or 2 years, well, we're talking, you know, they've probably been sick for 10 years or longer. And so a year or two to them is not, in the grand scheme of things, that big a deal. It really depends upon the severity of your illness. If you're being proactive and you're catching this early on, then it's probably a shorter process. And I find that within 2 weeks of making these changes that you're talking about, these kinds of addressing that in 2 weeks, people start to notice a difference. And that gives you hope to keep going forward, right? I mean, once you see 2 weeks, a month, you're like, I see some improvement. Okay, well, I'm going to keep going. And then in 6 months, you look back and you go, wow, look how far we've come.
Absolutely. And I love the way you describe that. I follow up with my patients at the 1 month mark on purpose because I say, take the month, do what I ask you to do, record what happened when. If things get a little funky in the first week or two, I don't even want to hear about it. So I'm not going to have you schedule an appointment unless it's this or this. You just keep going. And at the 1 month mark, it is amazing what I'm able to hear from a patient. And although they're not done in a way that they can set the protocol down and walk away and expect to keep those results, they are well on their way enough to know they're doing the right thing for the first time, like you said, sometimes in a decade. And they are more than happy to continue. They blink their eyes, a year goes by, it's nothing compared to the 10 that they've suffered. And then there's a way to measure that sort of done point And I know that I can withdraw the protocol with confidence and, you know, kiss them goodbye at the door, so to speak, and wish them well on their way and say, hey, if anything else comes up for you, you know, I'm here. I'll do my best for you. But go live your life now because you've arrived. It's a start and finish project. You've done it. Enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just talking to a patient this morning who, after a month, at that month follow-up, like I just do the same thing as you at a month follow-up, she said she was 50% better, and which is amazing to get 50% better, especially for something like depression, which can be debilitating and keep you from being able to do so much. So she, because of that 50% improvement within 1 month, I explained to her that that next 50% is going to actually be easier than that first 50%, especially with something like depression, where you've got this kind of fog that keeps you from being able to do so many things and makes you feel tired and makes you feel crazy and not motivated. And so once you feel even, you know, in some patients, they get 75% better. Everybody's a little bit different, but getting that significant improvement in a month gives you hope to keep going. So I hope that gives people some hope and not feeling like they have to wait 2 years to get better. So thank you so much, Dr. Janelle, for your information today. I really appreciate you sharing your personal journey and how you're able to help other patients. And I think it's beautiful the way that you've made this your life mission to be able to serve in this way.
Thank you so much for having me, and it is my pleasure and mission to be here talking about natural medicine whenever I can.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Janelle. To learn more about Dr. Janelle, you can visit my website, thespadoctor.com. Go to the podcast page with your interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. And while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community on my website, or just subscribe to the Spa Doctor podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. And if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend that you get your own customized skin profile at theskinquiz.com. It's free, and based upon the answers to just a few questions, you get your own customized skin report. Just go to theskinquiz.com. Also, don't miss out on the latest tips for glowing skin and vibrant health. Join me on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Join the conversation, and I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor podcast.